Amen. And that is good news. Our names are written on God's hand. Hey, tonight, if you don't have anything going on at 7 o'clock, you can head down to Lemongello's and the Hope United for Justice. I like to call it Lemongello's, LJ's, whatever you want. And there's a documentary called The Dark Side of Chocolate. Being sponsored where? It's at Graves. Well, why didn't I get the memo? So, 7 o'clock at Graves, check it out tonight. Thanks for helping me. Hey, I want to split the chapel right in half, okay? So this side, I want you to repeat this after me, loudly. Balcony, you just fit in wherever, okay? This side, repeat after me. For as all die in Adam.
For as all die in Adam.
A little more enthusiasm. Okay, here we go. For as
all die in Adam.
Very good. I didn't hear the balcony.
For as all die in Adam.
Nice. Okay, now, this side here, I want you to repeat after me. So all will be made alive in Christ. So
all will be made alive in Christ.
Balcony. Nice. Okay, so here we go. You say it first, you finish it with some chutzpah. All right, here you go. Ready? Go. For as all nice, interactive chapel. I love it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. That's where that comes from. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Corinth, as well as to the church in Rome, talks and refers to the two Adams. Now, that's not Adams, A-T-O-M-S, for you science folks who are always thinking atoms and everything. That's Adams, A-D-A-M-S. And the two Adams are represented by these two chairs here today. The first Adam that Paul talks about here is the Adam found in the opening pages of the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2. Adam is the first human creation. He is the father, if you will, of all humanity. And as God creates Adam, he is in perfect union with God. And God and Adam are in perfect fellowship. That is until chapter 3 of Genesis, where Adam, this Adam, sins against God, intentionally deciding to disobey God, which severs the perfect union that Adam has had with God and ultimately separates God and Adam relationally. And from this point on, according to the Bible, this Adam that the Apostle Paul is referring to is infected with sin. But not only this Adam, all of Adam's descendants who follow Adam are infected with sin as well. And that leads ultimately to separation with God. Which means all of us, every one of us here in this sanctuary today, according to the Bible, are born sinners and have a bent, as Kate Koyman talked about on Sunday, towards ourself rather than God. King David affirms this in Psalm 51 when he says, "Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me." That's the first Adam that the Apostle Paul refers to. But he also talks about a second Adam. And this second Adam that he is referring to is Jesus, the Christ, the only Son of God, who came into this world, according to the Gospel of Matthew, to save his people from their sins. This second Adam, Jesus, is fully God and fully human. And what Jesus did is that he took all the sin and sins of this first Adam and all his descendants, past, present, and future, onto himself, so that all of humanity can be reconciled and reunited with God once again. For the Apostle Paul says this so clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:21 when he says this, "For our sake, God made Jesus, the second Adam, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we, the descendants of the first Adam, may be made in the righteousness and become the righteousness of God." Does that make sense? Which goes back to the scripture verse we just memorized this morning. Say it again. For as, whoop, for as all died in Adam, the first Adam, very good. All right. A little work. That's all right. So why is this important? Why am I taking so much time to establish this? It's important because our beliefs, our theology, drives the way that we live. So when we recite the Apostles' Creed that says this line, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins," and we believe that this is something that God does, not that we do, through the atoning work of his son Jesus, how should that impact the way that we live our lives? I'm glad you asked. If you have your Bibles in front of you, turn to page 800, Matthew chapter 18. We got a cruise. Chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, page 800 for you old school folks. But if you're really cool like me and have a smartphone, you can look it up. Uh-huh, yeah. I got it right here. Okay. Yeah, I'm feeling good about myself today. So, hear the word of God. Matthew 18, starting with verse 23. This is Jesus speaking this parable. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his slaves. As he began the settlement, a slave who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the king ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that they had be sold to repay the debt. The slave fell on his knees before the king. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The king took pity on him, canceled or forgave the debt, and let him go. But when the slave went out, he found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow slave fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other slaves saw that what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told the king everything that had happened. Then the king called the slave in. 'You wicked slave,' he said. 'I forgave all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow slave just as I had on you?' In his anger, the king turned him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Don't put those Bibles away. Don't put them away. Hey, we're not done. Okay, got it out? So, I wish time is cruising. So here's what I'm going to do. We don't have time to unpack this whole text, which is so rich and good in regards to forgiveness. But I want to highlight just a few things, and I'll do it really fast. First of all, I want to take this text because it's going to help us understand and catch a vision of what it means to live more fully as forgiven people. The first thing you got to notice there is this first slave comes in and he owes 10,000 talents to the king. Now, you need to understand one talent equaled 15 years of wages. Do you get it? 15 years of wages. So you math folks, 15 years of wages times 10,000 is how much? $150,000 years of wages. Do you get it? It's an unpayable debt this slave owes to the king. He has no way of paying it off. And the penalty is that he's going to be sold into slavery with his family and probably all the generations to follow until it is paid back. But he pleads to the king, have mercy on me. And the king, in his compassion, in his generosity, and in his grace, forgives the full debt. And not only does he forgive the debt, do you know what that means for this person? He doesn't even owe the 150,000 years of wages, but he also is set free. His family is set free from slavery. His reputation, his family's reputation is restored. It is so significant what the king did. Now, the other slave in the story owes this slave 100 denarii. A denarii was one day's worth of wages. So he owed this person 100 days of wages. It was a payable debt. Yet this slave who had just received forgiveness and mercy doesn't extend that to a fellow slave who is able to pay back a payable debt. Jesus is making a very clear point here. The slave that was forgiven does not reflect the attributes of his master, his king, which begs the question, do we? Do we as forgiven people, do we as followers of Jesus, do we reflect the attributes of our king in acts of kindness and mercy and compassion in forgiveness to one another? It's a great question to chew on today. A great one for us to end on today. Let's pray. God, when we read this story, at least I'll confess, when I read this story, I say to myself, oh God, I would never do that. I would never take for granted that large gift of forgiveness that was extended to me. Yet, Lord, if I'm really honest, do I really live a life of gratitude, a life of generosity, a life of mercy, of compassion, of forgiveness to my fellow brothers and sisters? And a lot of times, Lord, probably the answer is no. So thank you, God, for your word that convicts, loving conviction, calling us to live a kingdom life, a different kind of life, a countercultural life than what the world calls us to live. So Lord, let these words today fall on good soil of our heart, and that we would live a life that reflects who we belong to as a forgiven people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let it be done. Amen. Go in peace.